Hello, and welcome back to The Check-In, our place for community connection and conversation over the airwaves. It is very nice to be back here. I'm Janet Saidi. And since our last check-in together, a lot has happened, friends. It's 2021. It's a new year. We have a new presidential administration and a new plan for rolling out COVID-19 vaccines. Every state and territory in the country is right now actively working to get, as they say, shots in arms to protect us against the coronavirus. Here in Missouri, about 10% of the population has received at least one shot. People over the age of 60 are eligible. What does all this mean for you? Have you received one of the 878,000 or so shots given in Missouri? And how did that go? Maybe you're a healthcare provider and one of the first to get the vaccine. Let us know. Join our conversation today. Give us a call. 573-882-4991 or tweet us at checkin_KBIA. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to KBIA 91.3 FM. This is a rebroadcast of the February 18th episode of The Check-In. Listen Thursdays at noon for the live show.
Hello, you're in The Check-In. Today we're talking about the COVID-19 vaccine here on The Check-In. Who can get one? Where? When? How? And how is it all going here in Missouri? We're going to hear from some people who can help us sort out the landscape of the vaccine rollout here in Missouri. But we want to hear from you. Have you had the vaccine yet? Are you on all the lists and waiting? If you already got yours, how did it go? Let us know. Do you have concerns about it? Either concerns about when and how to get it, or concerns about when you do get it, what any kind of reaction might be like. We have experts here who can help answer our questions today on The Check-In, but we really want to hear from you. As usual, you are the guest on The Check-In. Let us know how you're doing. And I have to say, you know, it's been a while since we checked in together, and I need to catch up. I really need this today. Health issues, family issues, a pandemic, and very, very cold weather has made us all, I think, really, really need to check in on everything today. So just let us know how you've been doing the last few weeks. How are you weathering the weather and everything else, the pandemic, and also the topic of the day, our real talk today about the vaccine. Let us know what your thoughts are on everything else, how you're doing, and also how you're doing with the vaccine and where you are in the queue for the vaccine. Call us 573-882-4991. Again, that number from wherever you are today, 573-882-4991. We would love to hear from you. You can also tweet us. Our team here at The Check-In is very much here. We are so excited to be back together and checking in together with some new producers and some old producers here on The Check-In. And they want to hear from you through Twitter, at checkin_KBIA, at checkin_KBIA. We are monitoring our tweets, and we'd love for you to tweet at us and just let us know your questions about the vaccine, your experiences with the vaccine. Let us know, and we will bring you into the conversation here on The Check-In today. And our guests today, we have a couple who are going to help sort us out. Dr. Margaret Day is joining us on The Check-In. She is the co-chair of MU Healthcare's Vaccination Committee, so she's really on the front lines of the vaccination rollout here in Boone County. The vaccination committee is responsible for registering vaccination sites and setting up these mass vaccination events, like the ones we've seen recently at Faro Field, where about 4,000 vaccines have been administered there. So that obviously is a huge logistics feat. And I'm really very interested to hear from Dr. Day today about how things are going. Dr. Day, welcome to The Check-In.
Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you here, and we have so many questions for you, and I know our listeners will have some questions as well. We also have joining us Joanne Martin is the administrator of Pettis County Health Center. She's leading public health and vaccination efforts there in Pettis County. Joanne Martin, and Joanne Martin also is a nurse, so comes from a very frontline healthcare working background. Ms. Martin, thanks so much for being with us on The Check-In today.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So, Dr. Day, let's start with you. How would you say the vaccination rollout is going so far? We're hearing that vaccinations originally scheduled for tomorrow have been canceled because we've had weather events adding to the huge logistical challenges your team is already facing. How are things going with that and in general for you, Dr. Day?
Yes, you're right. We have unfortunately experienced some weather-related vaccine shipping delays with regard to the expected arrival of 4,000 doses of the Moderna vaccine.
Yes.
And our first clinic here to this week to administer those vaccines, which was scheduled for tomorrow, unfortunately is going to be postponed as a result. We have another event on Sunday, so we're hoping, of course, that the vaccine, you know, will be in our hands by that time and be able to still hold that event. But so far, we are still a little unclear about that. So,
what would you say, Dr. Day, to people who have got that first vaccine and their second vaccine shot has maybe been canceled because of the weather? I know that there's a window, I think it's 21 and 28 days, respectively, for those vaccines, but it can go up to about 42 days. What do you say to people kind of worried about rescheduling this second shot?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are administering some second dose Pfizer vaccines tomorrow.
Okay.
And want to make clear that we're still able to do that.
Okay.
That is still ongoing at MU Healthcare. But we have definitely been getting questions from other folks, you know, who have participated maybe in a different event or gotten their first shot elsewhere and weren't able to get their second one this week because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And we've really been, you know, saying it'll be okay. There, you know, certainly going to be some rescheduling of events, and, you know, the ability to get that second dose vaccine will be here in the future. So keeping connected with the media, keeping connected with the state website can give people guidance about that second dose.
Okay. Listeners, let us know. Have you had the first dose, waiting on the second one? Maybe some of you are even getting that second dose tomorrow. How's it going for you with the vaccine? Are you on the queues? Are you waiting? What are your thoughts? Maybe you're a veteran. Maybe you're a healthcare professional who was one of the first to get the vaccine. And how has that impacted your life? Let us know what's going on with you when it comes to the vaccine and when it comes to everything else right now. You can call us at 573-882-4991, 573-882-4991. You can tweet us at checkin_KBIA. We want to hear from you and how things are going. Joanne Martin, you're out in Pettis County, not too far out in Pettis County from us, but you've had some extreme winter weather in the past week. And, you know, there's always a lot of talk about how rural healthcare systems really face so many challenges. But it sounds like with the vaccine rollout that some rural counties are doing as well and better in many instances with a vaccine rollout. How are things going with you in Pettis County?
Well, things in Pettis County have been going very well. We have been working very closely with Bothell Regional Health Center, which is our hospital here in Pettis County, and also with Katy Trail Community Health, which is our federally qualified health center. We also have been working closely with pharmacies and our urgent care. So we have had a committee together to look at our needs, to coordinate, communicate, and we've been doing a really, I think, good job in sharing vaccine where needed, sharing staff where needed. We've had great volunteers. And one advantage that rural communities have is that number one, we're dealing with a smaller population, and number two, we are used to working together because rarely does any one organization have the resources to meet the needs of a community. So by necessity, we have a long history of working together, and public health agencies have been practicing for this type of event for many, many years. I actually started my career in public health working on just these kinds of problems. And so those plans that we laid many, many years ago, we've been able to get out, dust off, modify as needed, but it's given us a template for how to handle mass vaccination events. And so that's been very helpful for us.
That's fascinating. So in rural counties, you have to get creative, you have to work together, you have to collaborate. And that is all paying off with something like this. Dr. Day, let me ask about the priority. I know a lot of our listeners, a lot of our team here, people are really keeping an eye on who gets the vaccine when? And that's a really big discussion. So you are on the front lines of these decisions. Can you just give us some insight into how people are chosen for the vaccine, the priority list, how that goes down and how that gets decided with your team?
Yeah, absolutely. So at MU Healthcare, you know, we're really honored to be able to be a part of this COVID-19 vaccination and serve our community. And I want to highlight here, too, that collaboration is absolutely a huge part of this in Columbia as
yes,
well.
Sure.
We're working with Boone Health and with the Columbia Boone County Public Health and Human Services and have now actually combined what used to be multiple surveys through those agencies really into one here at MU Healthcare. And one of the reasons for that is that MU Healthcare was designated by the state of Missouri as one of three sites in the Mid-Missouri region, Region F, to receive this vaccine allocation in larger volumes to provide these high volume community vaccination efforts. And so as a part of that, you know, we have now combined the results of the forms that folks have filled out telling us of their enthusiasm for receiving the vaccine.
Yes.
And as you know, that list is unfortunately right now a lot longer than the amount of vaccine that mm-hmm. we will actually receive. So mm-hmm. what we're doing is, you know, really assigning a random number to each survey submission and then kind of adding some points for the length on the survey list. And as we receive appropriate vaccine supply for a number of individuals, we have, you know, certainly gone by the state criteria here into the phases that are eligible mm-hmm. And pool folks that way to invite them to get their vaccination.
Fantastic, Dr. Day. We want to continue this discussion. You know, a lot of people are filling out those surveys. Some of you out there are jumping into the surveys and jumping into the queue to get this vaccine. And that's great. That's what we all need. And that's what Dr. Day and Joanne Martin and the healthcare professionals want to see. People have to be in line to get these shots for us to make this happen. But some people are reluctant. I know some of you have some questions. You don't want to take necessary vaccines away from others. You may have some questions about the reactions to the vaccines and whether it's the right thing for you. You can give us a call. We are going to continue this discussion after the break. We will be right back here on The Check-In.
You're listening to KBIA 91.3 FM. This is a rebroadcast of the February 18th episode of The Check-In. Listen Thursdays at noon for the live show.
This is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. We are talking everything to do with vaccines right now here in Missouri. Do you want to get vaccinated but aren't sure if you're eligible? Have you jumped in there and got on those lists like Dr. Margaret Day, our guest here, says so many of you have, and still waiting for the phone call? Or maybe you've got the first shot, you're waiting for the second, maybe you're even getting that second dose tomorrow. Let us know, what is your experience with the vaccine? Do you have questions or concerns about jumping in there and getting the vaccine right now? And many of you might be out there in our rural areas. We're joined by Joanne Martin, who's with Pettis County today, and she's talking about how her county and other rural counties are responding to the vaccine rollout and managing the vaccine rollout, the huge logistical issues involved. And we are getting the frontline kind of story here today on how those decisions and how those logistics are being managed. And now we have extreme weather in the mix, but it is still all going forward. What are your questions about the COVID-19 vaccine? What is your experience so far with the COVID-19 vaccine? Let us know, 573-882-4991. That's 573-882-4991. Our producer, Trevor, is here taking your call, and we will bring you into the discussion. You can also tweet at us. Our team is watching Twitter. They want to hear from you at @checkin_KBIA. That's @checkin_KBIA to let us know how this vaccine rollout is being experienced from your point of view. Maybe you also are a healthcare worker We'd love to hear how the vaccine has impacted your life. Let us know, 573-882-4991, 882-4991, or you can tweet us at @checkin_KBIA. So states are varying a little bit in their decisions and the prioritizing of people for the vaccine. Almost all states, I think maybe every state now has prioritized older people, including Missouri, also prioritizing people with underlying conditions and to varying degrees prioritizing essential workers, police officers, grocery store workers, teachers. We're talking today about how all this gets decided in Missouri and mid-Missouri. And our guests today are Dr. Margaret Day. She's the co-chair of MU Healthcare Vaccination Committee, and Joanne Martin, who's the administrator of Pettis County Health Center. Dr. Day and Joanne, we have a question from our one of our producers, our on-air producer, Kyle Felling, has a question about a family member who's reluctant to get the vaccine because they feel like they might be taking a shot away from frontline workers who need it more. Some people are generous that way. Dr. Day, what would you say to someone who is a little reluctant because they feel other people might need it more than they do, but yet they are in that over 65 category?
Yeah, I would say, really now is your turn. So we would encourage you to get your vaccine. You know, we're really excited, of course, about the vaccine being a huge public health opportunity here to combat the COVID-19 virus itself. And the more of us getting the vaccine, I think the closer we do get to that herd immunity and protection for all. So essentially, we've been really, encouraging anyone who is eligible to receive the vaccine because it does help your neighbor and your community and others actually for you to receive the vaccine.
Okay, so getting that vaccine is the thing that you can do for your community right now, I think is the message, and that makes a lot of sense. Joanne Martin, have you seen this in Sedalia and Pettis County with people not wanting to take the vaccine from others?
We saw some of that early on, when vaccine supplies were even more limited than they are now. We've had the opportunity to provide a vaccine for our frontline providers for a while now. And so most anyone in those, what we call the 1A category, who wanted to be vaccinated has had that opportunity. There were some folks in that initial group who were somewhat reluctant, but I think as more people have become vaccinated and there have not been the serious side effects that some people were concerned about in large numbers, that people are becoming a little more willing to accept the vaccine, and so they've been able to be accommodated as the vaccine rollout has continued.
Okay, let me ask both of you, what are some of the concerns generally that you see people having when they come in with the vaccine, and what are you saying to those people, Joanne?
I think the two biggest concerns have been how quickly these vaccines were developed.
Yeah.
And were any shortcuts taken?
Mm-hmm.
And we assure people who come in with those questions that even though the vaccine was created quickly, mm-hmm. it's not technology that was just discovered. This technology has been in development for an extended period of time. It's just that they were able to use the vaccine to meet the development for the COVID vaccine. So it's not a completely brand new technology. It's just a technology that's not been applied to vaccine production at the level it was for the it has been for the COVID vaccine. The second concern has been about side effects. There's so much misinformation that circulates around on social media that people have read and heard all kinds of things about the vaccine, the side effects, all those kinds of events.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, we can assure them from personal experience that yes, there have been some side effects. They've been, there have been sore arms, there have been some fevers, but in general, the side effects have not lasted more than a day or two. And from people who've had both the disease and the vaccine, I've not heard anyone say that the vaccine was worse than having the disease, and they would much rather put up with a sore arm and a little bit of a fever than what they experienced in dealing with the actual disease. So when we communicate that information, we educate people, we go over the side effects with everyone individually, give them an opportunity to ask questions, and I think that has helped people to feel more comfortable with the vaccine.
Okay, that's great. And Dr. Day, I want to ask the same question of you. What sort of concerns you're seeing? I mean, Joanne, you're bringing up a really important point that there's a lot of legitimate questions out there. Even healthcare professionals I know in my life have had similar questions about the speed of the rollout, and then have had that question answered in exactly the way you just answered it, Joanne, by realizing that it is technology that's been around, and then more and more people are getting vaccinated. But so there are legitimate questions, but there's also misinformation. You mentioned social media. That's such a battle for everyone, and especially those of you in public health, to get the messages out right now. Dr. Day, what are you seeing when it comes to concerns, information, and misinformation, and how are you addressing those concerns with people?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Joanne. Absolutely echo what you were describing there. I think we have tried to stay ahead and provide people really factual information through our website and other means to try to kind of dispel, you know, myths or misinformation about the vaccine. Common questions are about, you know, does it impact your fertility, or what is the impact for pregnant and lactating women? And, you know, the truth is that the trials, you know, really didn't include a lot of information about pregnancy or lactation. And so it leaves, you know, those populations wondering. And, you know, we've been encouraging folks to talk to their healthcare provider, know that really it's a lack of safety and efficacy information more than any known harm. And certainly a discussion with shared decision making with your provider, should you be in those populations, is really important. And, you know, again, dispelling the myth that there is a fertility concern with regard to the vaccine. So that's been a common a concern for some.
Okay, thanks for all of that information. Let me just put a call out to our listeners right now. Do you want to get vaccinated but aren't sure if you're eligible? Are any of these concerns that you're talking about your concerns? And how are you feeling about the answers that you're getting here? Do you have any additional questions? Have you gone ahead and got the vaccine? And what's that experience been like? Maybe you're a healthcare worker who's had your life transformed. I had a healthcare procedure myself in the past week, which was kind of a bummer, but it was very interesting to talk to a lot of healthcare professionals about how their life was changed by the vaccine and how difficult it was in those early weeks. And I'm sure it's still really challenging for all of you. I know there are some healthcare frontline workers who make the check-in part of your routine. So let us know if you're one of those people who have had the vaccine and how it's impacted you and whatever you're doing. Are you a teacher who's been petitioning to get the vaccine earlier here in Missouri? Let us know what your thoughts are, what your story is when it comes to the vaccine, and what your goal is when it comes to the vaccine for you. You can give us a call at 573-882-4991. That's 882-4991. You can also tweet at us at check_in_KBIA, at check_in_KBIA. Dr. Day and Joanne Martin, there are other groups and populations in Missouri that might really mistrust the traditional medical clinics. And I know the CDC has put out, Centers for Disease Control have put out some guidance on getting vaccines to people who are experiencing homelessness. There are others who might mistrust traditional medical clinics because they're undocumented or recent arrivals. People may have experienced racism in clinical settings. I know you're looking at this all the time and how to get people to trust the route to the vaccine and trust those avenues. And many of us, whatever our background, experience challenges with healthcare sometimes. In spite of the great work of the frontline workers, sometimes our system breaks down for people. So what strategies, Dr. Day, have been discussed, if any, for getting vaccines to some of these more challenging communities that don't have the access to traditional clinics?
Absolutely. You know, we are certainly sensitive to this and are looking at ways to meet the needs of our entire community and all populations. You know, our survey on the MU Healthcare website does address some of these higher risk populations in terms of, you know, asking if you're a member of disproportionately affected populations. So we are trying to identify those folks and make plans and to get everyone vaccinated who wants to be.
All right. Yes. Well, thanks for that. And let me just say, everyone, if you are wanting to reach us, apologies to those callers who might be calling in on our number that I've been giving out. We need to give you a new number. And here it is. It is 573-882-9136. Line one has had a problem, so we are going to plan B, 573-882-9136. If you're listening and you've been wanting to call and tell us your story about getting a vaccine or ask your question to Dr. Margaret Day or Joanne Martin with Pettis County about getting the vaccine, we see you wanting to call us, and call us at 573-882-9136. Again, that number, 573-882-9136. Hey, one good thing about social media, when we do not have a phone line, we do have Twitter. So you can also reach us at @checkin_KBIA if you are of the Twitter persuasion, @checkin_KBIA. We do have a question from someone. Jean says she got her first shot in Moberly, but the event has now been canceled. How can she get on the university list for only a second dose is her question. And she now lives in Columbia. Dr. Day, how can someone who's had the first shot but just needs the second get on the right list and make sure they get that second dose? What would you advise them?
Yeah, our team has been thinking through this week. You know, I think we certainly want to accommodate. One challenge, though, is that the way the vaccine is distributed from the state to sites is to equally match the second dose numbers to the first dose, you know, administrated. So it is a bit of a challenge here for folks in terms of scheduling your second dose at a different location than your first one was given. So I think the, you know, best advice we know right now is to have people continue to, you know, watch the media information and the state website in order to really be as up to date as possible about the future plans to administer that second dose.
That sounds great. Joanne, do you have anything to add to that?
No, it is a challenge for many people in that with the changing of appointment time, some folks had, you know, taken a day off work, or they are now going to be out of town when their second dose has been rescheduled. And so we are all aware that this is a challenge. And given the challenges with the vaccine itself in terms of the ability for us to store it for extended periods of time, we are also strongly encouraging people that wherever you got your first vaccine, please stay in contact with that organization to see what plans are available for the second vaccine, even if the vaccine time has had to be rescheduled.
Okay. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Dr. Day. We have a call. Let me take a call really quick. We've got to go to a break here in a minute, but let me introduce John, who says that he and his mother have got their first shot in Randolph County. John, welcome to the check-in. How are you doing? Do we have John? Okay, hang in there, everyone. We will try to come back to let John into the conversation after the break. We do also see those of you who are tweeting, you can tweet us at @checkin_KBIA, and we appreciate that. We have a tweet from Shirley, who says that she is 70 and received the first Pfizer at the Audrain County Mass Clinic. I know about that one in Mexico. My father also went to that one, but her second shot has been canceled due to weather. She's asking, should she seek another site? Dr. Day and Joanne, you have sort of answered this question a little bit. Anything to add to that to Shirley, who's tweeting us?
Yeah, I think the same, you know, really keep in touch with that original site in terms of what the future plans are to get that second dose.
Yes, okay. Dr. Day, go ahead.
I was going to say, and as far as we know, we've had an event here in Pettis County that was with the National Guard that was canceled, but it has been rescheduled.
Okay.
So my understanding is that those events are going to be rescheduled. It's just going to take some time to complete that rescheduling process because the Guard particularly has commitments, and so they have to work around the Guard schedule as well as the vaccine delivery schedule.
Okay. We see your tweets. We see your calls. We will get back to your questions right after this break. You are listening to The Check-In. We're talking about everything to do with the vaccines. We have Dr. Margaret Day here in Columbia and leading efforts for vaccine rollout here in Columbia, Boone County. We also have Joanne Martin with us, leading efforts in Pettis County. We have your questions covered. Stay in touch with us. We'll be right back after this break on The Check-In.
You're listening to KBIA 91.3 FM. This is a rebroadcast of the February 18th episode of The Check-In. Listen Thursdays at noon for the live show.
Hi, this is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. We are talking with Dr. Margaret Day with Boone County and Columbia managing the vaccine rollout. Here we also have Joanne Martin with us. She has a nursing background, a frontline healthcare background, and is also leading the efforts in Pettis County. So we're getting the lowdown on the vaccine rollout. How does that look if you're in charge of managing these logistics? And everyone checking in with us today, we see your tweets, we see your calls. Thank you for being here. How is it going for you? You can give us a call. We are on a different number, 573-882-9136. We do want to hear from you, 882-9136. And I'm going to bring you callers into the conversation here as soon as I can. Also, those of you connecting with us on Twitter, we are at check-in underscore KBIA. Thanks for your tweets. We see you. We have a tweet from Steve Calloway. He says, are we considering giving vaccines to people who might be accompanying an eligible person? He says he feels like this is happening in Massachusetts in his tweet. Dr. Day, what do you think about that? Can we give vaccines to those who show up and get other people to the vaccine sites?
Yeah, you know, our site here is really by appointment only. And we are trying to be sensitive, though, to folks who, you know, say are a couple or in a family and they're both eligible and they're in our pool of survey responses and trying to accommodate as best we can. So certainly doing our best to do that. I'd say part of our process here is, you know, that the Columns Club at Faroe Field is a really well-organized machine in that we can get people in and out in about 15 minutes. But part of that, you know, high efficiency system is really to operate by appointment. So that's the majority of work that we're doing.
Okay, great. And those of you who are on the call lines, I see you. We're going to get to your call as soon as we can. Let me just ask Joanne, how would that work for you in Pettis County? Are there people accompanying people to the vaccination sites that, and what would your answer to that question be?
As Dr. Day indicated, that is a challenge. The state of Missouri, the Department of Health and Senior Services, has been very adamant about everyone following the tiers structure, and that we follow that structure closely. And sometimes the folks who are coming with an individual don't meet any of the criteria that are currently available. And Massachusetts has had some challenges with the process of allowing someone who's accompanying a person on the eligibility to be vaccinated. So it's a wonderful idea, but it's just not where we are at this point in time with vaccine. And if I have a moment, I'd also like to address the question about reaching some of those hard-to-serve populations. We're all aware that online registration systems do not reach everyone, particularly some of the populations that are the most vulnerable. And so one of the things in smaller communities that we've had an opportunity to do is to do some old-fashioned paper forms and also using a roster at local public health agencies. And that has helped some reach into those populations. The other thing that rural counties are planning, as the vaccine allows, is to actually go into businesses, go into schools, and go to where some of those most vulnerable populations are. What we've been hearing from some of our employers in our schools is they have people who might be eligible at this time, but they want to wait and be vaccinated with their peers.
Okay.
And so that is something that might be a little bit unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And the other challenge is that the large vaccine clinics accomplish the goal of getting vaccine to people quickly, but it's not as flexible at reaching into those hard-to-reach or hard-to-convince populations. So it's a dual problem that anybody who's a vaccinator is well aware of, and we're all trying to figure out how to do both.
Okay. Let me ask both of you. I mean, one thing that we know about the vaccine rollouts is these sort of mass events for vaccinations, which seem like such a challenge logistically. Dr. Day, can you start us off letting us know just how those mass events are going, what challenges come up during those events, what challenges and concerns, and do we have enough healthcare professionals to manage these major, you know, thousands of doses that come in? Dr. Day?
Yes, we, you know, the first week of February, we received 4,000 doses of vaccine, and we were able to administer all of those doses that very same week. In fact, just over a two-day vaccine effort at our Faro Field site. You know, I would describe the vaccine clinic as just a really joyful place. You know, the were able to staff that clinic with folks that, you know, signed on for that effort, I would say really eagerly. And, you know, we hear that, you know, it's very efficient. I think people may have concerns, certainly in a pandemic, to come to a place where you hear, you know, thousands of people are coming to get their vaccine. Yeah. What about social distancing and infectious disease, you know, hygiene practices and mask wearing and things? And certainly want to reassure people that, you know, most folks can get in and out in just over 15 minutes. And part of that is because we recommend being monitored for 15 minutes after your vaccine. So we have a process that's designed to minimize wait times and ensure proper physical distancing, everyone's masked, et cetera. So we don't want, you know, that to be a barrier for folks. And, you know, we have plenty of ability to be able to accommodate people of all mobility levels as well. So people who may require, you know, a wheelchair or different other assistance. It is on the second floor there at Faro Field. And I think some have questions about the logistics involved there. So there's parking that is close, and we accommodate all. So.
Okay, that's great to hear from your perspective on the front lines of managing those massive events, because I do often wonder, you know, as soon as I can, I'll get to one. But I do wonder, like, what exactly is that going to be like? Joanne Martin in Pettis County, you also have been dealing with some major vaccination events. What do you say to this? How does that go? What are the concerns and challenges that come up? And do you have the staff that you need to roll these out?
We have been blessed with volunteers here at the health center, and the clinics that have been run out at the fairgrounds have been in conjunction with the National Guard, as well as the staff from Bothwell, being supported by other staff from other healthcare organizations in our county and wonderful volunteers. The secret to all of this is good organization. And, you know, we've all learned how to do this more efficiently. I would not be completely honest if I didn't say our first effort was a little bit slower, but we now have a great system down, as well as the system at the fairgrounds. And we're not quite as speedy of getting everybody through. I would say most of our people, from the time they hit the door till the time they walk out, is probably a little closer to the 30-minute mark because of the time it requires for the monitoring after the vaccine.
Okay.
But actually getting in and getting out is a pretty quick process, and people keep telling us how amazed they are because they've seen the pictures on television where people had to wait in these long, long lines. And, you know, we're not seeing that happening here. We're seeing very, very quick transit through this entire process. And it's interesting that one of our biggest challenges is people who are arriving too early. And, you know, we have appointments. We ask people to not arrive significantly earlier than what their appointment time is, but we've had people showing up 2 hours early to our clinics.
Wow.
And that kind of slows the process because in smaller venues, you don't have a place for those people to sit and wait. So they have to stay in their vehicles, and then that causes some parking challenges. So just kind of, you know, if people can kind of keep with the rhythm, they get through much more quickly.
All right. So many of you out there, listeners, are calling us, and we so appreciate you sharing your stories and what's going on with you. And I apologize, many of you, we are not able to get to your call because our phone lines are a little challenged today, like everything else. But I think we can take a call here on the check-in from Jerry, is calling just east of Columbia. Jerry, I hope you're with us. If you are, welcome to the check-in, and thank you for calling.
Well, thank you.
So what's going on with you? It sounds like you and your wife have had shots and you're trying to get the second.
Well, what has happened to us is we're neither one computer savvy, okay?
Yeah.
We don't have a computer. We don't know how to use it. We're the old school. I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Okay.
I'm 69 years old. I was able to go to the VA and get my first shot.
Okay.
I was able to go to VA and get my second shot.
Great.
Supposedly today it took effect or whatever it's going to do on the 18th. My wife is 80 years old. She'll be 81 in March.
Okay.
Since we don't have a computer, I can't get her a shot anywhere.
Okay.
Only thing we have is a telephone to contact us and stuff, and they're saying you have to be available within an hour. That's not always possible either. Now, I've been vaccinated, and I'm disabled. I don't get out of the house too much anyway, but my wife has to go get groceries and has to do everything, and there's no way I've been able to get her vaccinated. What do I do?
Okay, Jerry, thank you so much for calling us and for letting us know. If you can stay on the line a moment, Jerry, let's ask Dr. Day. What, Dr. Day, would you suggest to Jerry's wife, who's 80 years old, not computer savvy, and needs and wants to get vaccinated? And by the way, Jerry, we're so glad that you are vaccinated. Very happy to hear that. Dr.
Day?
Thank
you very much.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a phone number as well. So recognizing that sometimes the computer is not the preferred way that people, choose to communicate, we have a phone number at 573-771. It's 2273. So the last four are CARE. So 573-771-CARE. And that is a very appropriate way. We have people waiting and able to help you complete the online form without you having to have a computer. And you can receive your appointment invitation through the phone.
That's great. Dr. Day, you said that's 573-771-CARE. And what are those numbers again instead of CARE?
Yeah, 2273.
2273. Okay, Jerry, thanks so much for your call, and we wish you and your wife the best as you get vaccinated. Let's go to another caller whose name sounds a little familiar to me. Dr. Lewis is calling us. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I am.
Hi.
I've been trying to call in, and I was getting some wrong numbers.
Well, you,
I'm glad we finally connected.
You are on the check-in, and Dr. Larry Lewis is also known to me and the check-in team as Dad. So we know that you, I've shared your story so many times, Dad, on the check-in. You went to the mass vaccine event in Mexico, and I think you're due for your second shot, and everybody wants to know how it's going, how you found it, and they've asked me to have you call in. So here you are. Thanks for calling, and can you tell us and everybody listening what the Mexico event was like for you and what your plans are for shot number two?
Yes, I signed up just as soon as it was available to do so here in Colombia. First with the doctors, my wife and I both have several doctors, and we contacted them, and they all referred us to one of the hospitals. So we ended up on the list with Missouri University Hospital. Now, she's 81 years old. I'm 86. So that put both of us in a priority category. But I will say this. I have yet to receive a call from anything here in Columbia. And so I don't know what the slowdown is. But my brother-in-law suggested maybe if I went to a less populated area, one of the county seats in nearby, and I contacted the Audrain County Health Department. They told me of this mass vaccination that was taking place. So my wife and I got up early, drove up, and it was kind of on a first-come, first-served basis. They said they were going to line the cars up at 8 o'clock, but wouldn't start vaccinating to 9. So we got up there at 8 to find that they weren't lining the cars up. They weren't allowing you to park on the side of the road or anywhere else. We pulled into a convenience station and waited our turn. It didn't take too long, and maybe 2 hours counting the wait time, and then the time you have to be observed. But and then we go supposedly going back tomorrow. Now, I heard one of your callers, or I guess they tweeted in, that maybe they weren't vaccinating, given the second shots tomorrow. This is the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, let's go to the experts. Dad, you called me from that line in Mexico, and I know you and Krita are able to just have a good time wherever you are. So you just went, I think, and got breakfast and hung out and waited in line and just made a morning of it. So that worked out well.
Our newspaper with us, read the paper, and even had a book in case we needed it, but
that's the way to do it.
The paper, we were right up there ready, and the vaccination didn't hurt at all, and I feel much more secure now that I've got the first vaccination and looking forward, hopefully, to tomorrow getting the second.
Okay, Dad, thank you so much for calling, and we are going to hear from Dr. Day on your question of why someone who's on all the lists maybe hasn't been called yet and what they should do. Dr. Day, let me go to you to answer that, and my dad ended up going to a rural area. He's from Centralia, and so it was natural for him to go hang out in Mexico. We are almost out of time, but let me just get 30 seconds or so from you, Dr. Day, to kind of advise, what if you're on all the lists and you're waiting for that call? What would you say to people?
Yeah, I saw a patient yesterday who told me she signed up everywhere and then on the same day got 3 invitations from 3 different places. So I would tell you, you know, we're committed to giving everyone a vaccine. I think it's going to take longer than we all wish that it would, certainly into the weeks and months to come. But, you know, I think we're all committed to vaccinate as many people as quickly as possible. Certainly, some of these like weather delays or, you know, uncertainty about how many doses we will be allocated. You know, we've spoken to some of those challenges, but
yes,
I would say certainly your turn will come.
Okay, your turn will come. That's a great message for us to go out on. Thank you so much, Dr. Margaret Day, for all that you do and for joining us on the check-in and taking the time to do that right now. Also, thank you to Joanne Martin for the same thing, for being on the front lines, managing that vaccine rollout in Pettis County. Please come back and join us on the check-in sometime. Thanks also to you, listeners. Thanks for all your calls, all your tweets. We promise to have the lines a little easier for you to join us this time next week. So join us again, but we see your calls, we see your comments, and we will keep this conversation going. That's all we have time for today. The check-in's produced by Alicia Haywood, Trevor Hook. Welcome, Trevor, and me. We also have student producers Becca Newton, Hannah France, Isabella Paxton, Fernando Naro. KBIA's news director is Ryan Femuliner. Our engineer is Mark Johnson, and our program director is Kyle Felling, and they all do the heavy lifting to make the check-in happen. We will be back next Thursday. In the meantime, find us at check-in_KBIA. You can also call us and leave us a message. This is a tough number, but I'm going to give it to you. 833-560-1329. 833-560-1329. I'm Janet Saidi. Stay well and stay in touch.